The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and welcome to Bull Talk Business Radio on AM 1060 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. Bull Talk Business Radio, as I tell our listeners every week, is the show to listen to if you're looking for insights, strategies, tips, and tools for your success and for more satisfaction in your life and work. We believe that there's so much integration between the life you live at work and the life you live at home, at least inside your mind, because you bring the same mind to both locations. So we want to prepare your mind with the information, insights, strategies, tips, tools, and attitude that you need to really get through your life, no matter where you are, and to make it the life that you really want to enjoy, and so that you can enjoy and reach the dreams that you have in this life. So today, I want to also welcome to our show, Pete Anselmo, co-host.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Do you know what today is, Pete?
No, I don't. What is today?
Today is, according to the National Day Calendar, it is Aviation Maintenance Technician Day.
Fabulous. Well, we have the Congress, the 44th Congress going on now.
I think it's the 45th Space Congress this year. Yeah.
In any case, they're celebrating all types of individuals involved with aerospace and space technology. So we give a shout out to the people that are involved in the space program. And that's becoming a huge, huge part of the community here, which it's always been. But I think the development that's occurring at the Kennedy Space Center is just demonstrating how much more we have to go and develop here on the space coast.
Absolutely. We've got so much happening here. And we have our friend Jason Ryan at Space Flight Insider, who is attending the Space Conference and Space Congress. And I believe he's going to be giving a report to us in our monthly Space Flight segment, Space Talk segment.
Yes, he will be on the next Tuesday, Space Talk Tuesday,
right,
which occurs in June.
Yeah, and if you didn't know this, you should tune in to Bull Talk Business Radio the first Tuesday of every month, because that is when we talk space for the benefit of really humanity, actually. I was just going to say, for the people on the Space Coast who are really interested in the space program, but for people everywhere, because our space program brings back information that affects the planet, it affects human life, it even affected swimsuits, because, you know, the special coating that goes into making performance swimsuits was designed, actually, and tested on the International Space Station.
That's true. And there's no question that the developments that occur here on the Space Coast are just, and throughout all of Florida, actually, is just a small portion of the entire industry that the aerospace industry is throughout the country. So that we know the development here because we see the rocket launches and we see the development out at the Kennedy Space Center, but it's really a national program, the space program, and all the ancillary businesses that are part of the space program.
What's really interesting to that is that you just mentioned the fact that people who are on the space program, Space Coast, are very tuned into it. And it reminds me also about mindset in general, because I remember that before I bought a Toyota in 1999, I was not that aware of how many Toyota Camrys were on the road. But when I had a consciousness of the Toyota Camry, because I had just purchased one, it seemed like every third car on the road was a Toyota Camry, mostly because it was a really popular car, but also because I was actually tuned into it. And when you become conscious and aware of something, you tend to notice it more.
Oh, absolutely. And I think here in the Space Coast, obviously, we see launches. There's a launch coming up on Thursday, so that we're aware, obviously, of the development that's occurring, and we see the fruits of it when we're launching rockets and actually returning them back. The first stages coming back and landing either on land or out at sea. So it's an amazing development that's occurring.
So as we're talking about the space launch, which will be on May 26th, Thursday, Pete, do you have the launch window? Do you know approximately when that's going
to
launch?
Well, approximately it's 5:40, I believe, in the afternoon.
And it is a Falcon 9 rocket.
That's correct.
And it's carrying communications technology, satellites up into space.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So while we're on this topic, I also would like our listeners to remember that I mentioned Aviation Maintenance Technician Day is today. And you can use pound Aviation Maintenance Technician Day to share that on social media. Little factoid.
Very good. And while we're at factoids, isn't this a special month in the family?
Oh, yes. Well, okay. So it's not only Aviation Technician Maintenance Day. Month of May happens to also bring the birthday of my daughter, Suzanne Anselmo Kulik, on May 25th. Pete, our co-host in the studio, is going to celebrate his birthday May 29th. My sister-in-law is May 27th. We're giving a shout-out just like crazy today. Shout-outs. Happy birthday to everybody. And to everybody, all of our listeners have a birthday in May or coming up in June. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So when it's not birthday time and we're not actually celebrating with cake and all the fun stuff, we're actually doing some of the fun stuff in business. And in business, one of the things that is really most important to every company is its cash flow, and its cash flow really comes from its sales. So what can we do in our business to promote our business and to promote our sales? And that is really the topic of Bold Talk Business Radio in one form or another. Every month, we're not always only talking about sales, because we look at what's underneath the sales process, and there are so many areas that actually help to convert what you're doing into sales. We were talking last week about how you can assess your business and rate what is really important to you and the areas in which you have to do the work in order to bring the value to your customers. So sometimes you start out with market research. What do you know about your competitors? Who is the audience you're working with? Are you focusing on a special target niche? And one of the things I like to remind people about is we get caught up in wanting to sell and believing that everybody needs our product, so we want to sell it to the whole world. But we can become very effective when we narrow our focus to one particular area or target market, or even smaller, a niche or a micro niche.
That's an area that's particularly important when you're talking to customers, that you don't want to introduce so many variables and so many different options that it becomes more difficult for the customer to make a decision. So sometimes to narrow the niche is actually more effective for you than to just come in and display 50,000 different
items. Right. So actually, Pete, you're talking about narrowing a product selection.
Right.
And narrowing a niche is narrowing down the people that you actually want to talk to about mm-hmm. your product selection. And so when you're thinking about niche marketing, it's important to understand who your customer is inside that niche. What are some of the demographic, the personality characteristic traits, or their location, or the places that they shop? Those are the areas that you want to know. It's very important to understand the personality characteristics and the personal characteristics of your buyers, because, Pete, what you were just talking about in terms of product selection says understand how your buyer's mind works, because some people have a huge capacity. They're very creative. They want to see everything. And other people just need to know how to make the best decision. So it's really important when you're with a customer to think about how they are going to make the decision and what kind of information they need to make a decision. So from a market research standpoint, I would start making a list of everything you know about your customers and how they think, how they work, and how they choose products. Pete, when you're with a customer, because you do a lot of inside sales, what do you find to be one of the most important things that you key in on? What are some of the signals that a buyer gives you when you're out selling, whether it's landscaping or concrete or whatever product you're sharing for your customers with their customers?
Well, I think one area that I think is particularly important is for the salesperson in the selling situation to be listening to the customer and to try to elicit questions from the customer to try to find out what it is that they need. What need are you going to try to fulfill for them? So it's important, number one, to listen to what the customer is saying, and for you to ask them questions to get and narrow what it is that they are most interested in. And that I find particularly important in the selling situation.
So that's a great way to apply market research in the moment. And you can do that by developing a tool to take with you called a needs assessment that lets you build a checklist of the types of things that you expect your customers are going to want to talk about. So in other words, if you're on a concrete call, we have, and we're working with a company, Performacrete, which sells concrete into the marketplace. Well, what kind of concrete does somebody want? Do they want to do a concrete floor? Your conversation with them is going to be different if they're doing flooring than if they're doing countertops, for instance. If you're a landscape architect or a landscape designer, you're going to want to talk to customers about what they're really trying to fulfill. And a lot of times, it's not about, I just need a plant or even a fully planted bed or even a walkway. What people really want in their lives is to fulfill their life enjoyment one way or another. So if you're selling someone a countertop, it's because they have a vision of having a great party or being able to serve a nice dinner on a concrete countertop in their home. That's a lifestyle that they're looking for. If somebody is coming to you for landscape design, they are looking at how they're going to enjoy their outside space. So when you're focusing your needs assessment, focus it also with the understanding that there's an end game in mind. And you need to really tie into that if you want to make your sale.
Absolutely. And it's particularly important that you pay attention to what they're saying to you, because very often it leads to areas for you to show them exactly how your product fits their needs. And that's a key point in terms of the sale, the progress of the sales situation, is to listen and to understand what they're asking you. And the point you make about it's not just the question of selling them a plant or selling them a countertop. Sometimes it's more a question of fulfilling an image or a concept or a personal need that they have in terms of making their house more beautiful. So by understanding the full extent of what their need is, very often it widens the horizon of what you can provide for them. The other area of importance is very often what you must understand is that you, as the salesperson coming into the situation, you are the expert. You know all the different products. You know what different applications would apply to a given need. So that therein is where you bring your expertise to the selling situation. And so it's very important that you are able to pick up on the need and then to lay out several different options to answer their questions and to fulfill the needs that they have.
So I'm a marketing consultant, as we know here at Bold Talk Business Radio, and my client might believe that they have a need, and they certainly do have a need in a particular case for a brochure or for a website. But the need technically isn't real. I mean, it's technically for the brochure and it's technically for the website, but the real need is for the connection with the customers. So when you're working with a customer of your own, whatever it is that you think you're selling, you need to ask the customer for their own perception, because a lot of times their needs and their perceptions are interdependent and they're really separate. So you have a need for a piece of literature that you can hand out, but the perception of what that literature is going to do for you is apart from it, because it's really connected to what the overall value that that product is going to deliver to them. So in order to get to the value and to understand the button that's really going to push the customer's decision, you need to ask a question that gets them into a kind of a sensory mindset about what's going to happen when they have what you're giving to them. So you might ask, for instance, what do you see happening with this brochure? You know, how do you see your world changing? What's your vision for what's going to be different when you have this product in hand?
That's very good, because the piece of literature can do many things, but it's very good to understand in advance, as you design the piece of literature, just what are the messages that you want to send with the piece of literature. And very often, you know, you're involved with many different aspects. It's not only the writing of the brochure that's important, but also the visual impact of the brochure that's extremely important. So you have many different avenues that you can touch upon.
Sure. And one part of what we're discussing is that there's form to product. So the product and services as they are, as you just perceive it directly to be. But then there's also the sensation of that product as experienced by the customer, as experienced by the end users of the products. And there's the perception, which is basically what happens when we apply meaning to what's going to happen with that. And that is based on the triggers in our minds, on our patterns, on our beliefs. So marketing is so much deeper than just saying, here you go. Here's a product. I put it on the shelf. I think it looks good, and that's it. It's really about understanding the deeper mind of your customer and also asking your customer those questions so you really get to know them. You build your market research database based on the kind of feedback that people give you. You might ask not only, well, what do you see happening, but what are you going to hear people saying about you? What are you going to feel like when people buy your products? What are they going to feel like with your product in hand? And the more you tie your market research, your data, your sales presentation to sensory words, the closer you're going to get to the true perceived value of your product to your customers.
It's all tied in together. And that's the important thing when you're starting a business, to make an assessment of all of these areas, your market research, your product development, your brand design. You want to pull all of these notions together as you develop your marketing and your promotions.
Sure. So if you're thinking about an inside-out approach to product development, you might be looking at actually how does the widget all piece together. But what you're looking at on the inside is the picture and story that's going to form in the company's mind about in the customer's mind about your products and about your custom, the custom part of the product that's going to speak to them. So what you want to know is what story they're going to tell themselves about your product. What are the thoughts that would form in their mind? And what's the attitude about you and about their own life and how it changes as a result of your product once they have your product in hand? Those are the questions you have to think about, whether you're developing a service, such as marketing, or you're developing an actual hard body product, like a piece of jewelry that's going to go into someone's hand.
And then, once you have gotten a handle in terms of your market research, your product, your brand design, your marketing, then you have to start looking at your pricing strategy and to try to come up with a method whereby you can determine how you fit into the overall marketplace. And that's a very important area in terms of determining your pricing strategy.
That's right. And I know that we have listeners out on the air, across the airwaves, who are starting businesses, people who are already in business, and they're wondering whether they're pricing their products properly. Sometimes you can make a decision just based on a profit strategy. Well, at the end of the day, how much money am I taking in? And you might price it because you want to take in the maximum profit. Well, that will work under certain circumstances when you're working with people who can afford the price of your product. Very often that's a luxury price. And it's also a profit-taking strategy is at a time when the market is typically very good or very, very tight. And you can, in essence, you know, squeeze the money because people really need that product. You can price your product higher. But a lot of times companies want to offer a product just to get somebody to try their product. So you're doing it for market penetration. That's a penetration pricing strategy. In that case, you're going to price your product lower, to just more on a trial basis. And you can say introductory offer, or it's a sale price. And that way, when you lower the price, you can, if you're selling a good product or service, people will test it, try it, like it, and they'll come back again.
That's particularly important for businesses in a repeat market. In other words, a business that where you will come back and buy the product over and over again, because then your the penetration that you get into the marketplace is extremely important. And you know you hear the discussion every day now in the oil industry, where Saudi Arabia is trying to maintain their market share by simply keeping the price of oil at a low and keeping their production up so that they continue to hold on to their market share. Well, someone breaking into that market is going to try to come up with a pricing strategy where they can take some share and penetrate that marketplace. It's
right.
A difficult strategy.
Sure. Well, sometimes people just like want to skim the gold off the top there. And that's there's a skimming strategy. But you want to think about when you're pricing, how are you positioning pricing relative to your other customers? Are you wanting to be the economy priced product? Are you wanting to be priced based on fair market value? That's market pricing. Do you want to price based on your perceived value of your product and what you've shown and your feedback has shown as the value to the customers? Sometimes I do that. For instance, there are people online who charge $5 to do a logo. When I price for a logo, I know there's a lot of time that goes into it. I know that it has to do a lot of psychology behind it that will match my customers' needs. And I'm going to factor that into the pricing because there's a great value to a logo for a customer. You can price sometimes just based on the markup that you think you need on your product so that you're paying for your product and you're paying yourself for your services. So come back after the break. We're at AM 1060 WMEL. This is Bold Talk Business Radio with Donna and Pete Anselmo. After the news, we're going to be talking more business and helping people to figure out some of the questions, answers to the questions that they have about business. And this is Bold Talk Business Radio. You can call us if you think of a question. Write down this number, 321-241-1060, 321-241-1060, and call us after the news break. We will answer your question.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, back after the break. Thanks for staying with us. This is Bold Talk Business Radio, the show where we bring you insights, strategies, tips, and tools. You have not only me in the studio today, but we have Pete Anselmo, my co-host.
How are you today?
It's a wonderful day. It's
yes,
a wonderful
it is.
Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, it's Bold Talk Business Radio, and we always love our Tuesdays. So before the break, we were talking about some of the strategies that we need to think about and assess where we're at on each of these strategies with our business if we really want to be very successful. And I want you to get out a pen and a piece of paper, or at least prime your mind to remember these product placement and assessment areas. And what we started with today was talking about market research, product development. We didn't get too much into another area that we can take up in a different show, but you need to assess for yourself how you're positioning yourself and how you're designing your brand. And that means thinking about the messages that you're putting out. And that can be what you're speaking about verbally, how you're making your presentations. It can also include literature and what you're saying in writing and your website. It will involve your visual identity. And that's all going to influence the customer perception. But your customer perception, if you ask them and they give you feedback, that feeds into your brand design and your positioning. It's really important to listen to your customers. So that will help you to develop your presence and the reach of your brand. And no matter what area you're assessing, the overall goal is to help you decide how you're going to allocate your resources so that you can put your resources into the area of your business that's going to make the biggest impact on your goals. So as we were talking about, these are the assessment areas I want you to focus on: market research, product development, brand design, and positioning. Add into that market promotion. How are you going to promote your brand? How are you pricing, which we talked about in the first half of the show? And I know, Pete, you have a pricing comment you want to give to our listeners, so I'm going to ask them to hold for that for 1 second. Remember, we're coming back to pricing, but also the areas I want you to think about are where you're placing your business, how you're getting your business out to the market, how are you distributing your services, and where. The talent inside your company, what are your resources and the inner strengths that you have to bring to the surface? Where do you need to allocate resources, if you do, into those areas? Financial resources, another key assessment area for your business. What's your capitalization strategy? Where's your money coming from? Where's it going to come in the future? How are you budgeting and forecasting? These are all things that we will talk about in our weeks and our segments on Bold Talk Business Radio. You can find information about all these topics, particularly if you tune into our new blog at boldtalkradio.com and boldtalkbusinessradio.com. We have a new blog. And also remember the key ingredient that we started talking about on the show today, which is sales. Sales is another area in which you have to assess your strategy, your skills and training, how you're developing your business, how you're converting your prospects into clients. And that's probably the most important thing that you can do for your business. Pete, what did you want to talk about in terms of pricing? Well, I'll bet it has to do with sales.
It does, as a matter of fact. Well, the important thing about pricing is that when you are out in the marketplace, you are always going to run into people that are looking to undersell. I know let's say in the landscaping business, you have everyone that owns a pickup truck and a wheelbarrow becomes a landscaper. Well, that's an unfortunate thing, because when you go out there and attempt to hold the line on a certain price level for your product, you run into people who are saying, oh yeah, well, I'll do that for half of that price. And yeah, these are people that really don't understand their own overhead. They don't understand the value of their time, and they don't understand the development of a business, because they may do it this week for that price, but in 2 weeks they'll be out of business. So for you, the person that really wants to develop a lasting business, it's extremely important for you to understand your labor costs, the costs of your products, whether it's plants or what have you. You need to develop your pricing based on realistic information and data that you develop as you work. And it's kind of a loop, in the sense that you develop your pricing based on labor costs, based on the economy, your products. All these factors go into it, and then you test it into the marketplace. You do some installations, and you see where your profit is, and then you may have to adjust certain areas. But your pricing should be based on realistic numbers and overhead numbers that are part of your experience. It's not pulled out of thin air.
I think that's so important too, because I don't personally think it's a great idea to just build extra money in your price, because some people do this. They build in extra money because they expect somebody to try to chew them down on the price. So they start higher and then they negotiate somewhere to a point that they think they can live with. But let me give you a different strategy. My friend Brenda Mulberry at Space Shirts in Merritt Island has experienced a customer coming in, or, you know, they want to place an order for 500 shirts or 10,000 shirts, whatever it is, and she'll give them a price and they say, oh, well, can you do any better? Well, the reality is, as Brenda says, well, do you want me to stay in business so I can be here to serve you next time? Because if I lower my price, if I take my price so low that I can't make money that and pay the bills and keep all of my employees employed and here and happy to do the job for you, I won't be able to serve you well, and I won't be able to get you your quality products or get them to you on time. So that I think is just so important. And it's important that a salesperson and a business leader feels confident enough in themselves and their pricing and in their position of their business that they are good with saying, you know what, just because people asked me for a reduction in the price doesn't mean it's the smart business decision.
I think what's always important, particularly in the selling situation, is to be prepared with the features and benefits of why people should buy from you. And what you want to do is to explain all the things that are important to the customer in the product that you're selling, so that they understand before you ever even get to price that what you are doing is the kind of business that they want to deal with. And that's the important thing, because it's not a question, because I don't care what business you're in. You're always going to find people that are higher than you, and you're going to find people that are lower than you in terms of price. But you must learn to justify your price.
And you want to know that the company that you're dealing with is a company that has a satisfaction guarantee, that is going to be there to resolve any problem that might occur for you, and that's in business for the long haul. I brought up the issue of pricing with Space Shirts, where a customer might ask for, and you know, did in fact ask for a lower price. And Brenda Mulberry, owner of Space Shirts on North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, said, well, this is my price, and that, you know, this is why, because I want to be in business for you next time. It's really important to know that the customer is getting treated fairly, and that the business is being treated fairly as well. Business needs to be win-win win-win-win. It needs to be good for the customer. It needs to be good for the company. It needs to be good for the company employees, too. So always think about the win-win-win when you're looking to price your products, or even when you're out there buying something.
I think one of the important things to realize when you are surveying the companies that provide the service that you're looking for is that companies are in business for a long time for a reason. It's because they've been able to satisfy the customers. They've been able to perform at a high quality and at a high level. And so it's not a mistake, or it's not some sort of magic that companies endure. They endure because they're providing quality to customers. And their products and are useful, and they've stood behind them over the years.
One of the things that I wanted just to point out here is, because I chose to mention Space Shirts and I mentioned it in terms of holding the line on pricing, I want to also mention, because I need to be fair here, that they're fairly priced on their T-shirts are actually very affordable. They sell polo shirts and embroidery services. And that gets to the next point in my mind, which is, so where do you find those shirts and embroidery services or the products that you need? And you find them on the internet. Or you can go to that store location I mentioned on Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island. when you're not going to go to the store, you're going to go to the internet. And that's one way of placing your products. One of the assessment areas that we were talking about earlier for your business is right. How do you get your products out to your market? What's your distribution plan? What's your channel for getting your products where you want them to be? And one of the channels that I particularly like, of course, in addition to a storefront or an internet website, an internet storefront, you might want to think about Amazon.com or eBay or Etsy, for instance, is another nice website to get your products out there. If you're a small business, you might want to put some of your products out on CafePress.com. But one of my favorite ways to build business and to get news about my products and to get my products shared out in the market is to do a strategic partnership or a strategic alliance with a company that makes sense for me to kind of share my business services through. So a strategic alliance is basically a prearranged but limited combination of two or more people or business entities who take advantage of the perceived or anticipated synergy and the opportunities that synergy would bring to the marketplace for them as business leaders and also for their customers, because sometimes you can build in more value by adding the services of a company that can go hand in hand with yours.
That's an interesting area, because I know I had experience for a long time, 30 years, where I worked with a company and we worked together. I provided a design service and they provided an installation service. So we worked hand in hand. And what's interesting is that we had a strategic alliance, but it was done on a handshake. I worked with Richie Curie, RJK Gardens in St. James, and we worked together for about 30 years, and it was done on a handshake. But I tend to believe that's probably a very rare occurrence. What are the kinds of things that you should look for in a strategic alliance? What are the issues to deal with?
Well, I think that your arrangement with Richie Curie and RJK Gardens in New York, when you were doing landscape design in New York, was great, because you picked a partner that you could do business with on a handshake. But the first thing that I would say is to outline your expectations, get together with that person who has a service similar to yours. So in your case, you were a designer and he had landscape clients because he did maintenance. You were able to bring your design services, embellish what he could offer to his landscape maintenance company clients, and together you were both served very well. I would say that you want to find a partner that, number one, that you can trust and that you can work well with. I happen to also really believe it's good to start with the expectations that you want to have for what your relationship will look like, and build it into a written agreement. Have an attorney look at that agreement for you, or suggest another one, because just like good fences make good neighbors, I think good agreements make good partnerships and make good clients. I always like to
I would agree with you, yeah. Really. I tell you what, I have never understood, quite honestly. I see attorneys working together in what I assume is a type of strategic alliance. But I always see them eventually separate, or somebody leaves, or this one leaves, or that one stays, and they're always haggling over the partnership arrangement. So I wonder, maybe there's more to what you're saying.
Well, absolutely. You want to, first of all, think about the goals or the specific goal, if you only have one goal, but you might have various goals that you need to fill with this partnership. So think about the goals that you want to achieve, and then start thinking about, well, who would be the best partner for me? And if you have questions on this, remember that we are at AM 1060 WMEL on the dial, and you can reach us at 321-241-1060. While I'm on a roll here, I'm going to tell you that you can look at us also for more information by visiting us at boldmarketingsolutions.com or theboldceo.com. And you can call us at 321-622-4138. And that's 321-622-4138. And we can give you assistance with your business questions and maybe help you plan your strategic alliance. Maybe
yeah, I know
a
you
good
have
strategic
some
partner for you. But think about somebody, Pete. I know you want to say something. So
No. I just wanted you. I know you have some notes on strategic alliance, some of the important points
I was
to
getting,
cover.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Okay, so we want to think about the goals so that you know who's going to make a good partner for you, or at least who you think is going to make a good partner for you. And that would be, number one, somebody who thinks, speaks, and presents themselves in a similar way so that your branding will be consistent or even improved somewhat by the collaboration with someone else. That's number one. Number two is, you want to find a partner who is going to challenge you to be better and to achieve more than you're at right now. You want a partner who is going to think enough like you and share values with you that you can get along, but is also going to bring something different to the table. Maybe they know how to turn the picture upside down and look at it from a different way.
I think that's really important because a lot of times you look for somebody that is just like you, but actually I think it's better to look for someone who is almost not necessarily the opposite, but someone that has different attributes and skill levels that you don't have.
Absolutely, because you need, if you're going to, why do an alliance with somebody who does exactly what you do or thinks just exactly as you do? Sometimes it's good if all you really need are extra hands on deck to do exactly the same thing. Then you might want to just basically outsource your services. That's another type of an alliance, is an outsourced partner who can fill your business. But what we're talking about is somebody who is actually going to bring something a little bit different to the table because they see things a little differently than you do, or because they can give you feedback that you weren't expecting because they're seeing it differently, and because you can then do the same for them so that you would each benefit each other because you think a little bit differently and you know what else can be added to a service offering that a client might need and that the original partner might not offer or think about, but you can bring that to the table for them. If you do, and you're choosing to make a strategic partnership or a joint venture with someone else, you want to make sure that the people that you're working with hold the same values. So what's important to you needs to be really important to your partners, because in the end, I think that is the most important aspect of being in business with anybody, whether it's an employee or whether it's a business partner, even with a customer. If you all value the same things, your relationship is going to be better because you're coming from the same heart space, the same soul space, and the same mind space.
That's particularly important, I would say, with respect to how you're going to treat your customers. I think that philosophy has got to be agreed upon right off the bat. That's got to be an essential aspect of a of an alliance, is that you both have the same attitude towards customers, that you want to fulfill customer needs, and you want to back up what you say every day in what you do for customers.
That's right. So you want to work with somebody who, and this is my number four tip, who compliments you and adds to what you're doing. Otherwise, you don't really need a partner unless there's going to be a benefit. So when you're thinking about the goals, as we talked about initially, is think about the goals that you want to achieve and what the specific benefit you're going to get and what's the benefit that your customer is going to get. Because if it doesn't help your customer, it's really not something that you need to do, because in the end, you're in business for your customers. If you don't have customers, you won't be in business. So always put your customer first. And then another thing that you want to think about is number five, somebody who brings different resources to the table to get a job done. It should be somebody in a strategic partnership with you who does something that you can't or don't want to do for yourself. And then finally, six, kind of where we started the discussion, is you want a legally sound agreement. Put things in writing, review that document together, and spell out what you each can expect from one another. It's very important that you set the expectations right at the start and that you'll have a fail-safe plan to keep your relationship intact by planning in advance for your problems.
I think one of the important things in thinking about a strategic alliance is that you be prepared for the fact that there will be forks in the road, there will be bumps in the road. It won't be perfectly smooth, but if you have a good agreement, you can weather the difficulties. And very often, an alliance is an extremely important and beneficial aspect to business.
And so when you're building that agreement, kind of build in the fail-safe plan for how you're going to resolve a problem. It may be that you want to record into your document who would mediate for you. Pick an actual mediator or find an attorney who can do that for you in the event that you and your strategic partner have a difference. Remember to date before you're married. You know, try to get with the person. Make sure that you know them well enough that you're confident in the relationship that you're going to bring to the table. We really value you as a listener of Bull Talk Business Radio. We want you to come back and join us again next Tuesday on AM 1060 WMEL.com. We start right after the news at 1:06 p.m. every Tuesday. We're here for you because we want to help you build your business, make it satisfying, and have a great life. So come back next Tuesday. Pete Anselmo and Donna Anselmo will be here to serve you with more insights from our own Bold CEO program on Bold Talk Business Radio. Join us again next week.